Welcome to the Rooted Moms Podcast, where we embark on an incredible journey of connecting scripture to the beautiful chaos of real mom life. I'm Brittany Marlowe, your podcast host, and I'm excited to have you join us today. Today, we have something truly extraordinary in store for you. In the wake of our Rooted Moms Ignite Benefit Dinner, we couldn't resist sharing a special message that will leave you inspired and filled with newfound wisdom. Megan McTeer is an author, speaker, and mother of four from Canton, Georgia. She has a passion for helping individuals interpret biblical truth in a refreshing way. Working in vocational ministry for over a decade, Megan has led everything from adult ministries to kids programs in a thriving church in Woodstock, Georgia. Her book, More Please, is a year-long Bible study that helps women engage God's Word in creative and personal ways, allowing them to experience it like never before. Get ready to be encouraged as Megan shares an incredible word with us. Let's dive in.
Hey, everyone. That was really sweet what Katie said. And I have been in ministry for a long time and done a lot of different things, which is a way of saying they just put me in a lot of different places at our church. But my husband's the pastor, so I have to do what he tells me to do. That's how that works, right? No, but I'm really excited to be here with you guys tonight and celebrating all of the things that Rooted Moms is doing and also looking forward to this amazing ministry that they want to launch and move forward with and taking Rooted Moms beyond just moms and looking at creating material for dads and for kids and creating this Rooted Families ministry. When I talked with Katie about speaking tonight, I got really excited because she shared with me that the theme of the night was Ignite. And she didn't know this at the time, but I was doing some research for a book, and I was deep into a Bible study myself on all the times that God appears as fire in His Word. So when she said that it was Ignite, and I was doing this Bible study on fire, I got goosebumps. Because I love when God does that. When you're in the midst of something and you think it's just you and all of these ideas are rattling around in your brain, but then you meet with someone or you talk with someone and God's like, it's not just you, there's something going on. You know that feeling? Have you had that happen to you before where there's like a word or something is going on and then the pastor talks about it on Sunday and God's like, hello, something's going on? Or the songs just keep popping up on your playlist and that word keeps coming over and over and over again. And it's in those moments that God is saying, hello, I'm here. I'm doing something. Pay attention. Something is going on and it's bigger than you. But I'm calling you to be a part of it. And I believe that is what is going on tonight. With all of us here, with Rooted Moms, and this word, Ignite. Because Ignite speaks to the power of what God can do. It's such a loaded, packed word. It talks about the power of what God can spark. And when I think about what God can do, it also harkens back to what God has done. All of us in this room know God's word. We wouldn't be here if we didn't, if we didn't love God's word and love all of the things in it. We could probably sit at our tables and make a list of all of the amazing things that he ignites in the Bible. Bible stories, right? Moses in the burning bush. All of like beautiful ignition moments in the Bible. And you could probably list out a lot of times that God ignites and sparks something with fire. And I don't know about you, but on the top of my list would be one moment with fire and a movement starting. Is anybody thinking of one? I would think of Pentecost. Anybody else? Did anybody else think of Pentecost? Yeah. The tongues of fire on everyone's head and the church starting. That day was such an ignition moment, and I would say that it is the blueprint of how God ignites his people. So I want to take a look at that story and kind of dig into it a little bit, pick it apart a little bit, and look at some clues in it of how God ignites his people and what he actually wants to do with us. So Acts 2, 1 through 6 says, "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers." Now, we all are familiar with that story, but let's just kind of get in the mode of the believers in the upper room for a minute, okay? So they're in this upper room. They're doing what Jesus has instructed them to do, because he has ascended, he's left, and he's told them, wait, stay in Jerusalem, do not leave. I'm going to send you my Spirit. He is going to be your helper. He's going to teach you everything you need to know. He's going to remind you of everything I've taught you. You're going to need him a lot. Please don't leave Jerusalem, please stay. So they're doing what he said. They're in Jerusalem, and they're waiting. And they're waiting, and they're waiting. If I was there, I'd probably be really impatient. I don't know if I would have been one of the most patient believers in the world, sitting there waiting. But they were waiting. And then all of a sudden, from heaven, this windstorm rushes through the room, creating this crazy loud noise, rushing through the room, and then fire appears and lands on each one of them. And then they're given the ability to do something they've never been able to do before and speak in all of these different languages. Can you imagine being in that room? Honestly, put yourself there for a minute. Can you imagine sitting there in that room, praying? We've all been in rooms praying together. Imagine sitting in your Rooted Mom's Bible study and a wind rushes through, all your papers rustle up, and all of a sudden you can speak different languages and there's fire on everyone's head. It would be crazy. Can you imagine sitting there and being in that setting? It would have been wild. But the part that I'm really, really interested in this story that is very intriguing is the next part where the Jews, the devout Jews, were walking on the street outside. And they hear this wind and they come running. Now, I've heard the story growing up a lot. Every Pentecost at church, right? You get told the story. I thought that they came running because they heard their languages, that they were on the street and they heard their languages and it made them run to see what was happening. But that's not what it says. It says they heard the sound that was referenced by the wind. If you go back and you research it in all the different translations, it says there was a sound that came into the room. When they heard the sound, they came running, then they heard their languages. Have you ever wondered why that sound meant so much to them? Because they were in a very, very, very busy city. Jerusalem was a crowded place, a trade city. They're walking down the street. It's a very busy time. It is a Jewish festival celebration called Shavuot. That's why they're there. They're Jewish pilgrims from all over the world that have come to celebrate this festival. They're in the middle of a city. There's animals in the road. There's carts. There's Romans. There's vendors. Everyone's talking to each other and yelling to each other. And for some reason, these devout Jews hear this wind in this one room over there. Have you ever wondered why? Why did they hear that and no one else did? Okay, so picture our own lives, okay? We live busy lives. I have a busy life and I have a lot of noise. I have 4 children. 3 of them are boys. Our house is loud, very loud. Boys come with their own soundtrack. If anybody doesn't have boys, they come with their own noise. So we have a very loud environment. Silence does not happen in our house. In fact, when I get silence, it's weird. I have to turn music on or something. I can't handle it. We live in a loud world. But still, we're trained. Our ears are trained to certain noises. Picture yourself driving down the road, okay? You're driving down the road, your radio's on, maybe you have kids in your car, there's road noise going on. If a siren goes by, your ears are trained to that, right? You pull your car over to the side. But if you have a loved one who is a police officer or a firefighter, and they're on shift, I bet that siren means more to you than anybody else. When you hear a siren, your heart is tied to that noise in a very different way than anybody else on that road. Your life is tied to that noise. It's not just a siren to you. It pulls at your heart in a very specific way. And I would propose to you that for these devout Jewish pilgrims that were in Jerusalem, that windstorm was not just a sound of the city. It pulled at their heart in a very specific way. I would also propose to you that they had some knowledge that not everyone else on the street had that helped them with that sound. I have a friend, a coworker, who knows a lot about storms. He did storm chasing. He now does disaster relief with when storms come in, they go to the cities where storms are and help. When he looks at a stormy sky, he sees something different than I do. When there's dark clouds in the sky, I just think something horrible is happening and I go inside, okay? My husband's from the Midwest, he runs outside and watches it. I go inside and hide, okay? So he can look at the sky and tell you what is happening. He can look at cloud patterns and tell you, oh, that's a straight line wind, or oh, they're swirling this way, that means tornadoes are coming, or oh, that's just rain. He knows. He can look at radar and tell you, oh, the bands are close together, so this means this, and there's a hook pattern, this means this. I have no idea what any of that means. But he has knowledge I don't have. And he can read radar, and he can read the sky like a book, because he has knowledge, background deep knowledge that I don't know. And these devout Jewish pilgrims had very specific knowledge. And when they heard that windstorm, they read it like a book. It was like radar to them. And Acts actually gives us clues as to why. God is so good with his word. When there's little details in there and you're reading, you're like, that's weird. They're so good. They're like little golden, beautiful clue nuggets that I love. God put these little clues in Acts that show us why their ears perked up to this sound. We know that it was Shavuot, this holiday that they're celebrating. They're in Jerusalem. They're coming to the temple. But we know specifically it was the first day of Shavuot. We also know later from Acts that it was in the morning when this was happening. So that means that these Jewish people would be coming back from the temple reading that morning. And because they were very systematic about what they read every day, we actually know what passages from Scripture those people would have heard that morning, because they read the same thing every Shavuot and still do. We know what scriptures would have been rattling around in their minds as they're walking down the street.
Did you know that Rooted Moms is a nonprofit organization? That's right. We are able to provide our practical resources, community, and encouragement to moms because of the generous donations of individuals and businesses. If you have been blessed by this podcast or our other available resources, consider paying it forward. Your one-time donation or ongoing monthly partnership helps us reach and equip more moms to thrive as they become rooted in Christ. To learn more and make a donation, visit www.rootedmoms.com/donate.
That morning, they would have read a passage from the law and a passage from the writing and the prophets. They would have just heard the passage where Moses goes up Mount Sinai to receive the law. And in that passage, he goes up the mountain, there's thunder, there's lightning, there's shaking, and a divine windstorm. And fire comes down, and the law is given. They also would have read the passage from Ezekiel, the very first chapters, where there's the wheels turning, if you've ever read it, and there's these four-headed beasts and the chariots that go in every direction. And it all happens in the midst of a mysterious divine windstorm, and God's presence is there with fire. That's what they would have just heard coming from the temple. So when they're walking down that street, that windstorm would have been like a holy siren passing them. And they would have been able to read it like a book. It would have been one of those moments where God was saying to them, stop, pay attention, I'm doing something here. It's really big. It's not just you, but I want you to be a part of it. God was using his word to turn their head and pique their curiosity and confirm that he was doing something that he wanted them to see. And that's why they went running. That's why they wanted to see what was going on. It wasn't just some loud sound. It was something important to them because they knew it was more than just a noisy room. When I think about Pentecost, I often think about the fact that the Holy Spirit was there. We all picture that. And that is so vital. The church needs the Holy Spirit. We can't do it without him. But we also need God's word. God's word was vital in that moment for those Jews passing by. That ignition moment was a blueprint for how God ignites his people. It's the Holy Spirit working alongside God's word to get his people looking in the right direction, piquing their curiosity and confirming, yes, this is God. It's not just some weird sound. You remember what you read this morning in the scripture? God's here. He's doing something. And then Peter had the opportunity to preach to these men, and they met Jesus. They fell in love with the Savior, and it started to spread throughout Jerusalem. And not only that, all of these people were from different places all over the world, and when they went back home, they took that word with them, and it spread throughout the whole world. That's how God ignites things. He uses the Holy Spirit and his word to do it. Yes, the Holy Spirit was there on Pentecost, but his word was so prevalent too. We know that the word was lighting those men's paths. We know the verses, Psalm 119, 15, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's so true. God's always done it that way, and he continues to do it that way. We need his word to light our paths. It's easy, I think, to lose sight of how powerful that light can be. And I am guilty of this sometimes, because when I want to ignite something, when I want something powerful to happen, I find myself praying for the tongues of fire and the wind. And I forget that the word is just as powerful. It partners. Does that make sense? And like, don't get me wrong, if a giant windstorm whipped through here and tongues of fire appeared, I'd be so happy. Like, it'd be totally fine. I wouldn't stand in God's way. God can do whatever he wants. But I find myself yearning for some sort of supernatural experience, and I want to be the apostle in the upper room. I want that part. And I lose sight of the amazing ignition, light, power that is God's word. We are told that that's the light, that that's the power. We don't need an upper room moment. God's already done that. That's been ignited. It's been done. We have it. We are told in Romans 6:8 that his spirit joins with our spirit to confirm that we're God's children. We have that spirit already. It's been given. And we have God's word. We have it in our hands. We have more access to God's word than anyone ever in history. Multiple translations in our fingertips, on the phones, in our pockets. All of the things that the disciples had in that moment, we have. The things that turned those fishermen into dynamic preachers, we have. all the things that ignited that day are ours right now. You have them. So there's nothing stopping us from igniting. We don't need a windstorm. We have it. But if you don't want to take my word for it, Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." When I read that, it's beautifully obvious that this is, again, the same blueprint of the upper room. It's the same progression. God is showing us, again, the same pieces. If you take a look at the upper room, you have believers in a room filled with light that fills the whole room. It spills out, takes over the city of Jerusalem, and then goes into the whole world. That's what this verse says. Look at the progression. You have the light. Goes on a lampstand, gives light to the whole house, shines out for all to see, becomes a city on a hill, and goes to the whole world. This is God's blueprint for how he ignites things. And that's why Rooted Moms is so vital. And that's why them being able to have the resources, the funds, the things they need to be able to create things, to move from moms to dads to children, to get this to Rooted families is so important, because it's giving light to the whole house. It's the lampstand that takes the light from the one light to the whole house. As I was studying this, there was different translations. I love different translations. There was a translation that was talking about how the Holy Spirit came into the upper room, because it's such a mysterious picture, tongues of fire and all of this. And it was trying to translate the feeling of how the fire moved in the room. And this is what it said. It was really beautiful. It said that the fire came down into their midst, spread out amongst them, and settled on each one. And that's what I picture when I picture Rooted Moms moving forward into creating resources for families. It's that light coming down into their midst, spreading out among them, and then settling on each one in the house. Because when the house is full of light, your house is no longer just a house. Your house is now a beacon. Your house is now a lighthouse that is shining out for everyone to see. And when people walk by, just like in Jerusalem in that story, it's not going to stay contained to the upper room. It's not going to stay contained to your house. It's going to spread out. When you have a house full of light, when you bump shoulders with people, they're going to notice. When you work with people, when your children go to school with people, they're going to notice the difference, because light and dark have very different feelings. And when people are in darkness, they notice the light. They notice the difference. And when a house is full of light, it will shine out into the darkness. And like John 1 says, when light shines in the darkness cannot overcome it. And what Rooted Moms is doing is creating a lampstand. That's the chain reaction we need. We need that chain reaction to start, and the lampstand is the beginning. Rooted Moms is overturning the baskets and building the lampstands. And we can get behind that. We can feel confident getting behind that, because that's God's blueprint for how he ignites things. There are houses that still sit in darkness, and I think if we were given a little bit of God's perspective, we might be surprised where some of those houses are. I've been in ministry for about 10 years. My husband's been in ministry longer than that. And it's interesting sometimes when we have to go through counseling with other people, and you see people that you thought were doing fine, and then you realize, oh, their marriage was falling apart behind the scenes, and no one knew. Or their kids were really struggling, and they needed a lampstand desperately. And what Rooted Moms is doing is building access so those families can have lampstands. When your house is a lampstand, and your house is full of light, you're giving light to the darkness. When you support Rooted Moms, you're giving access and lampstands to those houses. So we can feel confident getting behind that and building that lampstand and starting that ignition in those homes. It's a beautiful thing because it goes lampstand, house, city, world. That's not many steps to change the world. It really isn't. It's a really amazing thing. So I'm excited about getting behind that kind of ignition. I hope you're excited about getting behind that kind of ignition and overturning some baskets and building some lampstands. So if you'll pray with me, I'm going to close in prayer before Katie comes up. Father, thank you so much for showing us how you ignite the blueprint for how you combine the Holy Spirit and your word to ignite families. It's what you've been doing all along, and we are so thankful to be all in a room together with the opportunity to overturn some baskets and build some lampstands. Thank you for putting on Katie's heart and her team's heart the ability and the gifting to supply all of these resources to families. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing and all that you are going to do. We love you, and it's all for your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining Rooted Moms today. We pray Megan's message left you feeling uplifted and encouraged as it did us. How can you and your family be a light shining out into the darkness? We would love to hear your answer and keep the conversation going over on Instagram. Find us by searching Rooted Moms. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button below so you never miss an episode. Rooted Moms provides practical tools, community, and encouragement that helps moms become rooted in Christ so that they may thrive in every season of life. Connect with us and learn more at www.rootedmoms.com. We'll see you next time.